Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show.
Are we? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are we? Yeah.
Okay.
Let's. I love it. Oh my God. This week.
Yes, Jackie. Jackie talk.
Oh my God. I had ennui, Lori Kilmartin, and I don't approve. I don't approve of despair. I don't approve of exhaustion, emotional exhaustion. I don't approve of not being willing to get up. Or make it like I didn't have a show. I don't have a show today. I don't have a show today because I was like, why bother? And that is a terrible place to be.
Wait, but that's where I live. So
that is where you live. How do you live there? How is that?
How have you avoided that? I don't understand.
It is. I am a golden retriever. I don't know. I am not by nature a nihilist. I am not by nature anybody who wants, like, there. It's not that I've never soaked in like self-pity,
right?
But that's exactly what it is. I don't like being emotionally stuck. Here's what happened: is Acme had to close
for the next month.
The next month. And so my week has been postponed and canceled. Milwaukee's been canceled for some reason. Loveland, Colorado still thinks it's happening. And they've even added a second show because they want to go down from 75 people to 50.
Okay.
And that's the damn thing beats 600.
Oh my God, that show, that's going to feel so strange. Oh my God.
I mean, the whole thing is what I does know. Feel strange, but.
So you're still going to do Colorado for sure?
Well, at this point, I still have a flight. I still have a car, and I assume they still have a hotel for me. And I would still like to get paid. So these are all things that make me want to go and do Colorado. And then to get to do those 45s to an hour. But here's the thing. So look, Acme's canceled, so I'm not recording my album in December at Acme.
So the reason that you really wanted to do Loveland, at least this time, besides from the money, is just creatively to see how that hour feels.
Yeah, to run that hour. And and now I'm running, and there's part of me that's like, I'm running that hour for nothing, for nothing.
No, you're right. But I mean, it's okay.
It's fine. It's not for nothing. It's because I love doing stand-up comedy.
Right.
And that hour does need to be run. And then I thought I had Zoom stuff because we're recording this Sunday, as is our want. But I thought that I had stuff all day long, and I just found out that I had written something wrong in my book. And so I could have done a midday show just to run stuff. But by the time I record this album, the damn thing is going to be 3 hours long. And because you know how you don't want to, I don't want to throw away material.
I feel like I'm losing 2 minutes a week because I'm like, I'm not sure I want to pursue this one any further. I'm down to like 12 new minutes, but I'm performing in front of either clothed outdoor people or that are so far away, I can't get a hold of them or, Zoom. So I can't really tell. It's so hard to evaluate where a chunk is going right now.
Yeah, it's hard. It's not impossible. I wrote a new line for, we both did that show last night. That helped.
Yeah, that was fun. Helped.
And that's what I have to do. I just have to, if I want to wallow, don't. Get a set. Find a set. I sat for 2 days just upset, genuinely upset.
Well, you are welcome to do that. I mean, you have been that's been your goal for about 4 months, and you've been busting your ass. Like, you keep doing these shows that you're setting up yourself. It's a ton of fucking work. It's not just popping in on someone else's Zoom show. You've been doing the training that an athlete does for their competition. And then the Olympics were boycotted because Russia invaded Afghanistan. So you are, if I can put this in swimming terms, you are Tracy Hawkins right now. All right.
Put it that way. And so they're
gold medalist. And now you're not, and no one will know who you are. I'm sorry. It shouldn't go that far, because unlike an athlete, you can keep going for the next Olympics. She actually retired.
Luckily, the worse shape I'm in, the better for Stephanie.
True. So true.
Yeah. It's, I do need to regroup and to get off my ass and to just go, okay, well, and you know what Andy had to say when I was whining about it, because he's right fucking there and he has to hear it, is he was like, well, you know what you got to do. And I was like, oh,
shit. This is how it starts. Oh, no, I knew you guys wouldn't make it through lockdown.
It's our first fight. He goes, You have to write set lists. And I was like, yes, I hate you. I know I have to write set lists. And he's like, well, someone had to say it.
Before you do a set, do you just make a little list of what you're going to talk about?
Well, when I do the long sets, right, when I work the Sundays,
yeah,
I'm like, well, I know what chunks I'm going to work on. But what I think what he means, or what he should have meant anyway.
Here comes another fight.
It's finally Ashcraft and Cation getting down and dirty.
But the makeup sex. I can't wait for that chunk about your makeup sex.
Oh my God. That's the other thing is I've written what I think is a new premise. And I think there's something there about how we don't really, our fights are so lame, but of course that ruins the makeup sex because we never have that powerful makeup sex that I've heard so much about. Yeah. And instead, we just have sex. It's nice. We just do normal. Did you want to try something new? Yeah. All right. I'm bored. Let's fucking, why don't you touch me there? Okay.
So all right, Jackie, this is getting too much. Also, it's not fair. You know, just you live your life without telling me every single detail. Por favor.
The Spanish has come out. Anyway. Yeah, I have to say, yeah. He stuck the landing. I have to write 4 40-minute sets that maybe I can do, you know, and then those are the chunks. I mean, if I want to be hopeful about it, I could, because I have these chunks about marriage chunks that are just sort of premise-y. There aren't any punchlines. They're not punched up enough. Maybe if I just work on those, that whole thing about not needing a witness, and just, you know, the fighting and stuff. I think there's obviously people who built careers on material about being married.
Sure.
Maybe I could write a 15-20-minute chunk that then I could figure out. But what I wanted to do was the hour that I have, the hour 15, I guess, of really stuff that's ready to be done. I wanted to do it 5 times at Acme so that I could get a great album out of it.
I know.
And the pressure now. So what did I get from Mike Merrifield, who was going to tape it, Michigan comic who works for Gorilla, right?
Gorilla.
He was going to record it. And he goes, well, just think it's going to be better. And I was like, it has to now be epic. It has to be amazing. I've had all the time in the world to work on it.
And I said, you've only had 8 months to work on it. I mean, 10 years is epic, but eight months.
Except for my last album is now 3 years old. So I've had 3 years to work on it. I mean, the thing is, it's bananas to even think it. I'm creating walls. Don't create walls. Lower the bar, Cation.
You record your album. That is a snapshot of the comic you are at that exact moment. And that's all it is.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, I want that snapshot to be a genius. So when I got to go,
And you just have to know, you know, as soon as you record it, within a month, you're going to think of a couple tags that really improve jokes. And that's always going to be the way. And
it's the nature of the...
Can't get over it.
So,
and, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, that's all. But so anyway, but I just... many things have happened. This week has actually been really busy besides... Like, I have lots of topics.
Me too.
Did you have a big thing, too?
Well, I mean, you know, the future is unknown to all of us. To me. The show I work on, Conan, is going to end its run at TBS in June. So I'm employed till June.
Okay.
For sure. And then he's going to HBO Max, which is a great move, and I couldn't believe I couldn't believe the TBS shows weren't automatically being put up on HBO Max. But there's also this thing of late night and streaming, and it not really working, because that's not... Here's the other thing is no one watches late at night. They watch clips the next day. A few people maybe watch, you know, the network shows when they air, but just that's not how anyone lives anymore, you know.
Right.
Anyone under 70. So it's just not how these shows all started, isn't what they are anymore. And so, you know, to keep pursuing maybe that exact format, you know, maybe it's, you know, he first cut it back to a half hour, because who watches the second and third guests unless they're stand-ups, and those clips are always just separate, you know, things that the stand-ups promote, you know, like no one anyway. So he's going to do an hour long variety show. I think it's an hour variety show.
Variety.
Yes. Which
he will be so good at that.
Well, he was born
for that shit.
We don't know what it is. We know there's a live audience.
He's Carol Burnett. That's what it is. Conan O'Brien is Carol Burnett, and he's a genius. It's going to be amazing.
I mean, I think it could be. Anyone being forced to interview people that maybe you don't give a shit about, it's tough. It's tough.
It's a grind.
There have been guests on every late night show in history. Who the fuck are you? And you're stupid and boring. And why does this genius have to spend time talking to you? You know,
I have only felt that, I think, twice in the Dark Forest.
I think artistically, creatively, it's really cool. And obviously going to a streaming platform is where everything's going to be going. Yeah. So now we don't know.
HBO Max is neat. And HBO is neat.
Netflix seems highly disloyal. You know, like they cancel shit with, you know, Michelle Wolf's. They cancel too quickly. They don't give anything a chance to the late night shows that they've done. Hassan Minhaj's
could have done the third season. It would have been amazing.
Right. So they're very impatient, but I'm just talking about the way they've done their late night shows. Whatever they do with their sitcoms is a different thing, but it seems like they're two seasons and get the fuck out, unless it's The Crown. Right. I think HBO Max is the kind of the cool, exciting to me streaming platform. So we don't know if we're all being brought, you know, it depends on their budget and all that stuff. So I know I'm good till June, and then we'll see, you know. I mean, no one needs to feel sorry for me. I have had 10 years is an amazing amount of time to have one writing job.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had an income and health insurance, and especially when I really needed it, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm very grateful for what I've had, and I hope to have more. That's about it.
That's it. So, but that was that. That's a big uncertainty too. And but I love that. So,
Look
how sane you are. Sure. Look how, I mean, the thing is you, this is, pardon me while I scratch myself. Wow.
I'm wiping my nose.
This is why I'm not on Netflix.
Everyone enjoy the Zoom because we're both just touching ourselves grossly.
Exactly. Congratulations. Yes. So then we did Flappers last night, the drive-in.
That was so fun.
It was really fun. Here's what I like about Tammy Joe's that I wish they did at Flappers, and I have the power to ask them to do this. It's right. Not like they wouldn't. I like how there's that tech person. You mm-hmm. get your own mic stand.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that they're like mic stands are lined up.
Yes.
And they're just like, take this next mic stand. Take this next mic stand. And then the MC uses the same mic stand, their own mic stand through the whole
show. Everyone's sort of assigned a mic and a stand. Yeah. We were given a mic, and then the 20 seconds it takes to line up the three holes to the three prongs is excruciating when you're plugging your mic in.
And but everyone's touching that cord.
That's true. I wore gloves for that. And I put a foam cover on my mic, even so.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Because I could bring my own damn mic. I mean, it's not like a,
Are all mics the same with the three prongs? I mean, is that like a USB cord?
That is an XLR adapter. Didn't you say that you bought a bunch of stuff from Sweetwater this week?
Well, I bought because I've been doing voiceover stuff for Conan sketches. And our sound guys, you know, just like you're popping, you know, like a lunatic, and it's a lot of work for him to correct it. I got one of those, whatever the circle screen you put on top of the mic. It's coming. It's on the way.
Know who benefits from that? Kyle Clark.
Yes. But I could have got it on Amazon, but I love Sweetwater because I feel like I'm talking to Mr. Sweetwater. Like I ordered the thing and then I get a call and hi, it's like Jim Sweetwater. How's it going? Anything else? Let me know. And it just feel like you can hear them putting your thing in the box and taping it up and mailing it to you in the background.
And throwing in three pieces of candy, if I remember correctly.
Oh really? I can't wait.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was that. And this is an unpaid, spot for Sweetwater. If you're a comic or an audio person, they're really great. Little company to order from.
100%. Yeah, they are. They have a lot of great stuff. So,
And I'm thinking of getting some sort of. I don't know. I hate the way foam looks on walls. I just hate it. And I love my little painting pictures. I don't want to ruin my blue room with fucking foam. But I also would like it to sound better.
I have creepy Halloween foam that isn't working. So I have to pull all of these, there's like 20 of these on all the different walls in this room.
Oh, wow.
And it's just not really doing, I mean, it's not doing anything, but it's, but it's not doing a lot. So
are there, like, I was looking, there's like these little audio, they almost look like pop-up audio studios you can buy, but I don't know. It just, I can't tell what's a ripoff or not. And then, you know, We'll see. But when I was listening to some of this, you know, obviously no one can do super high quality stuff right now, unless you have a studio in your house and you're already a voiceover person. But, you know, since I'm just throwing a little VOs for Conan stuff now and then when they need a female narrator or something, I just wish it didn't sound so tinny, you know, or how I don't even know if I'm describing how bad it sounds, but our sound guy has to do a lot of tweaking to my audio.
You sound good leaned into your laptop, quite honestly. It's not quite as echoey. So,
well, it doesn't sound if I'm narrating a commercial, it doesn't sound. This doesn't sound broadcast quality. This sounds podcast quality, which is not the same.
Yeah, it does.
But it's okay. Whatever. I think everyone knows that all comedy shows are working with what they have, which is everyone's home equipment. So, I did two outdoor shows. I told you this last night. Here's the thing, outdoor shows are way safer and stuff, but we are humans. Right? We see each other. The first thing you want to do when you see someone you haven't seen in 8 months is give them a hug. You know, so you have to stop yourself, even still you're 4 feet within them, elbow bumping. You're still
too close.
It's still too close. And it's funny, this one guy I love, I haven't seen in a long time, but I don't recognize anybody, by the way. I'm thinking of writing my name on my mask so that people
know. That's very thoughtful of you. What I need is everyone else to do that.
you got me down. You've got me memorized. But anyway, so I go, hey, and he goes, it's so-and-so. And then he pulls down his mask. Hey, and I'm like, no, don't do that. But it was just without even thinking, which I understand. It's just a human need to connect. And you're like, oh, this thing is stopping me. Let me get rid of it for a second. So it's just, you know, it's hard. Even the outdoor shows, and it's so fun to hang out with comics. And like, we were sitting with someone else and trashing some of the people we don't like. And it was so fun to do that.
He's funny. That guy's
hilarious. Yes.
And we weren't trashing. I mean, we weren't trashing anyone that we haven't trashed.
But oh, yeah, exactly. But in more detail and stuff. Yeah.
I had heard of him. We could say his name, can't we? The guy who was on the show.
Oh, yeah, everyone can assume comics gossip about other comics. Yeah, with Jerry Rocha. He's a hilarious guy.
I remembered his first name. I couldn't remember his last name, even though I've heard it 1,000 times. It's Jerry Rocha. And he was very funny. And he did a great set. And he was also super sane.
Yeah.
Like, so, this nice thing, because he has that East Coast accent. It's like when.
But he's from Texas.
That's weird. And because I have that Fargo accent, and then I can say a word like conflate and people are all blown away. And but he, you know, his stand-up is a little ranty. So for him, so when we were trashing bad guys, he was
they were bad guys, by the way. They were bad guys.
This
we
wasn't
well
just
our rights. Yes.
He's all right.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that. This was a real piece of shit that we were talking about.
Yes, oh, yes, yes. You guys would all agree.
So, but the, yeah. So, but that was super fun. I thought it was great. I was like, oh, she's just going to hang out. Because you hung out for 3 more comics.
Oh, I hung out for the whole show. It was just nice to be around you guys and, you know, see everybody and watch people do.
It's nice to see Will.
Oh, it's great. You know, here's the thing. This goes out to Flappers and Tammy Joe. They have to take down the stage every single night, and they have to build a stage before every show, and they have to unbuild it, take it apart, and hide it. It's so much fucking work. So we can do 10 minutes of material. So some people can drive out in cars and laugh. Like, it's just an incredible, how much work they're doing for us.
And that's why it's expensive, you know?
Yes,
and
Tammy's 50,
I think it's $50 for Flappers, and it's $100 or $150 for Magic Castle, where Tammy does her show, because Magic Castle, it turns out their parking lot is made out of gold. And so to rent that is more expensive.
Yeah.
Because we're doing it. We were at the Pickwick Bowling Alley. I felt right at home.
Yeah, I really appreciate the amount of work the outdoor people are doing. And the other outdoor show I did too as well. You know, it was in like this little corner tucked away, and you know, it's a lot.
In Burbank? Was it the Burbank one that you sent that guy to me?
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to do it. And it made me just realize if I was gonna do anything in my backyard, you know, what I would need to do to make everyone feel comfortable and safe, you know. And the other thing is people have different levels of comfort. Like, and I imagine if I were 25, I wouldn't be as freaked out by COVID. Personally.
Well, that's because when you're 25, you're invincible. Remember?
Exactly. So I understand, you know, the 25-year-old sort of not sitting 6 feet apart outdoors thinking this is enough. Cause you know, I don't know, but
Doing outdoor Thanksgiving and Andy is freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, I'm going to bring one of these filters. And like, his mom is essentially in our pod, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to bring the I have three filters now. Hi, mm-hmm. you've really got me buying air filters now. The Hefty.
Oh, air purifiers. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Air filters for your
air purifiers.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I bought one, and there's one that's like, it's like medical. It was $100. And so I'm going to bring it, put it in her, because her house is mostly just sort of one big room. Yeah. Like the kitchen flows into the living room and the living room goes into the front door. And the back door and the front door, there's an airway. So we're going to open those two doors. And Andy's like, and how about no more? My mom gets to go in her house at any time. And then no more than two other people. In it, because the thing is these people, we're all in the, we have to be in the same pod because we're all seeing her, you know, mm-hmm. and we're all being super safe supposedly, but safe doesn't always cut it, right?
Dude, right now, so many people have COVID here. It's like you know, like 3 months ago, you had less of a chance to bump into somebody accidentally spewing aerosols. But now, and obviously because it's contagious, it's going to be growing exponentially. I mean, the odds that you're going to run into someone with COVID
We're getting takeout. We're getting turkey takeout.
Right.
We're not cooking. Because she always wants to cook.
Wait, you're going to her house?
Her house in her backyard.
Okay, gotcha.
We're gonna do backyard. We're gonna mask up. We're gonna sit. We're gonna eat plates of food that we got at the Hometown Emporium in Exeter, California.
Yeah.
So, it's actually, I think, my favorite place to eat in Exeter, California, because.
We all have a favorite place to eat in Exeter.
Well, they have more. The thing I like about Exeter is that there's more than one espresso machine. That's what I like. There's more than one place that serves coffee that, of a real sort. Anyway, but.
Well, my Thanksgiving plans are very. We're going to have a giant family Zoom at 1 p.m. with my dad's side of the family, all the Kilmartins and the Parkers. And then I bought again, and when we get to our sponsor, we'll delve more into this, but I did, not a cook lady. And I did buy a little butterball turkey. Maybe it might not even be a full turkey. It might be just turkey breasts. It's just, it's not shaped like how a turkey shape. So they must've taken a lot of the limbs off.
Yeah. It's turkey breast. Anyway, go ahead.
But there's instructions, and as long as I follow the instructions, I have a good shot of cooking this turkey. Okay, so that excuse me, it'll just be me and my son, unless or maybe his dad. I'm not really sure. But that'll be it. I feel like we'll feel my mom's loss a lot. You know,
what did she usually do?
Nothing. But her
carrots and vodka. Carrots and vodka.
Yes. just in the, you know, she loved to see all the cousins and everything like that because she's known them since they were born, and so this will be the first time. I don't know. You know, it's the first Thanksgiving without any parents.
Yeah. Yeah, that's hard. That's
so now, all the traditions now are start from me. Like all my son's memories are from me and not from them. And I feel like I'm not really providing much, you know. I don't do a good job with that stuff.
I don't know. I think that they'll be the traditions. They're the things that you like, and so they'll be the traditions that you'll end up making just because you'll be doing things that you enjoy. And then he'll remember those, whether that's, you know, tater tots and canned cranberry sauce, which is often what it was whenever we went over to my crazy stepmother's family's for some sort of, they were constantly eating something out of a bag that was frozen. I remember when when Darla turned 18, one of the first, this can't be true, but why let the truth get in the way of a good story, as my father would say. Mm-hmm. But the first thing she said to me was, I'm never eating margarine again. And she walked out. It was a great parting line. It was a great exit.
Because I have shows this coming weekend.
Oh, that's right. You do it outside up north. Yeah.
But for the first time in my entire life as a comic, I sent an email this morning asking the person who putting it together about the conditions of the show. Mm-hmm. And I've always been one of those, you know, whether I felt like I couldn't ask because I get fired immediately, or it's also this pride of, you know, I don't give a fuck. I'm not a princess. I'll perform upside down in a cave. I don't care. Right. And have a good story. You know, you don't have to protect me. Right. And now I'm like, you know, after seeing the video of people at Sky Harbor Airport and seeing how many people are traveling,
where's Sky Harbor Airport?
It's in Phoenix.
Okay.
They're going to get on a plane, probably with one person who has COVID, but it's asymptomatic. And five people are going to get off that plane and now have COVID that they're going to spread, right? They might come to my show. I don't know. But what I'm saying is...
You asked for sneakers. You wanted yellow M&Ms. You want, yeah.
No, I feel like I'm being a diva, but I just said, you know, I just asked...
Brand new sneakers for each show.
You know, how far away I would be from the front row. And is the audience, even though they're outdoors, are they going to be masked? Because the shows are at wineries, which means people will have been drinking, which means that's why there's a 10 o'clock curfew. They're trying to get people before they're too hammered.
Right, because the first thing to go is your judgment. And you're like, yeah, it'll be fine.
Right. So I just... was asking about that and just as I'm thinking about, you know, what I want to do to make myself safe. Cause I feel like I'm driving into droplets, right? I'm going to be driving 7 hours. I decided I'm going to get a cooler. I'm going to bring my own food, you know, and I'm not going to eat out any place. I'm obviously bringing a purifier for the hotel and I'm just going to,
Are you going to rent a penis and pee into like a cup? You should totally rent a penis and pee into a cup. Remember those assholes who would say, I don't even stop to pee, I just pee into a cup.
Jackie, did you interrupt my very serious precautions to do a penis joke?
Yep. Yeah, I did.
Wow. Guess what? You still got it, girl.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for this tiny award. That's great. That's
And then just based on noticing how I was behaving at these other outdoor shows where I naturally was trying to be close to people, I'm like, oh, I have to really, really be strict with myself and not, you know, run up and elbow bump and all that kind of stuff. Like I really have to put a zone of space around myself. Yeah. And it's going to be hard for me to insist on that because that's not my personality. And right. I also am excited to see comedians.
What
you know?
Is your personality? If you could, wait, no, I'm so sorry. See, second one, not as funny. Second what? One, not as
no,
funny.
No, just cunty and also on brand. So I wouldn't worry about you at all.
Let's do comic of the week.
Okay.
For Max Fun Break and our ad. Let's do it all.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Comic of the week comes to us from an amazing clip sent to us by someone you might know, Kyle Clark.
I thought we did her already. It was nope. it was a Colbert clip.
Yeah, because she's so funny. It was an amazing set. Caitlin
Palufo.
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 Sorry about that. Palufo. Caitlin Palufo. It was fucking hilarious. She was a delight. Great. My favorite one in that thing was, women get to be comfortable. That was my favorite. That was one of my favorite lines. And the whole set was great. And it was long. It was a nice long set. So look up Caitlin.
Colbert lets you stretch out sometimes, man.
That was a 7'10". It was
no,
seven.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. She's that good. You got to let her go.
I wonder if the laughs took it out a little bit longer, you know?
Some five-minute sets end in four,
and some five-minute sets go to seven. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
So, find her, Caitlin
Palufo. P-E-L, as in Pell Grant, but one L. And then UFO, as in Mark Ruff, but spelled differently.
This is the best plug she could have ever possibly got.
Let's examine her name. Do we think it's of Italian ancestry? What do we think is happening? And but no, find her. Caitlin, P-E-F-F-U-L-O, is that correct?
P-E-L. No, for fuck's sake, Pell, I just said Pell Grant. Pelufo. P-E-L-U-F-F-O.
I got Pell Grants. Should we go there? No.
Congratulations. You've won a ticket to attend an exclusive opportunity in a relaxing environment with two lovers.
Wow. Well, this sounds like a sort of proposition of sorts, but really it's an ad for our podcast. Wonderful. It's a show we do here on Maximum Fun where we talk about things that we like and things that we're into.
I'm Rachel McElroy, and you just heard Griffin McElroy, and we are excited for you to join us as we talk about movies and music and books.
Things like sneezing or the idea of rain.
Can you get news or information you can use?
Absolutely,
so.
You cannot, because we're here to talk to you about pumpernickel bread.
You can find new episodes on Wednesdays.
So catch the wave.
All right, so we have a new sponsor called Green Chef, and they make staying healthier and on track easier than ever with satisfying home-cooked meals, including options for paleo, that's what I got, keto, and at plant-powered diets. Recipes are quick and easy with step-by-step instructions, chef tips, and photos to guide you along. It really does look like a Denny's menu. It was so helpful to me. You can switch up your meal plan whenever you're ready to try a new way to eat.
All right. So we both got boxes in the mail. Mm-hmm. And I made two of them. Here's what I liked. First of all, they were very good. The whole thing about these boxes, the Green Chef being delivered to your house, is that it makes you, even if you don't cook, it makes you see what's in your fridge differently. You're like, oh, I could have made this if I had these foods. Thank God they've sent me these foods. Because I made burgers. I made this. I got Korean bulgogi burgers.
Wait, hold that up again. Oh, that looks real good.
Yeah, the coleslaw thing was amazing. And I've done others of these. And sometimes the packaging is so non-recycle friendly.
Green Chef,
it's all recycled. It's all just baggies.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to be in some sort of amazing packaging. So,
yes.
And they send you the protein, which I also like. Mm-hmm. So I got, because I just did omnivore, right? Mm-hmm. And so I did Korean bulgogi burgers, and it was great. I did, they sent like a ginger sriracha aioli, and bulgogi isn't Andy's favorite. So I was like, well, I mean, that's the other great thing about these boxes is that you can adjust it to whatever you want. They start out on a real basic level. Like, you don't do spicy. Mm-hmm. It's not that spicy. If you want to add spice, you just, you know, you have some things in your fridge. You would just add more sriracha to it or whatever.
Salt. Yeah.
Salt or whatever you need. Yes, salt.
The Irish spice of salt.
My favorite.
What did you make?
I made, it was a chicken thing. I got the paleo and I'm going to do a pork one tonight. It was so easy. The font, very friendly font. I felt like I was welcomed into the cooking community.
Yeah.
Yes. There's pictures. I know all recipes have a cook time and stuff like that, but it was very helpful to go, okay, I have a show at 7. I'll start this at 6. It should be done at 6:35, and then whatever. Then I go. Yeah. It tastes. It was like I have tried these before, and maybe because this is a sponsor, I'm like, I actually have to complete it. Like before, I gave the boxes away or the food went back. I was afraid of it.
Right,
but I'm like, I can't fear it.
Yeah, you just gotta
go
it.
In. And it was easy. It was easy, and I did accidentally. Too many things together, but it still worked out anyway because they were going to go together anyway later on the plate. Okay. What I'm saying was, it was really delicious. I was shocked, and I was shocked at how easy it was. And the stuff is all recyclable. I love that, of course.
Yeah, of course you do. All right. So greenchef.com is where you want to go. And if you go to greenchef.com/JackieLaurie90, and use the code JackieLaurie90 at greenchef.com, you'll get $90 off, including free shipping. And that's greenchef.com/JackieLaurie90. And the code is JackieLaurie90, turns out, for $90 off. So it's actually really cool. And it's really fun to do. My sister does it with her kids where... where they do the great unboxing, and then they get to put it together, and because it's they make it simple, but it's always delicious.
I'll do the pork one tonight with my kid.
Yeah, do that.
Because he ate the chicken too. I thought he wouldn't because he's so finicky. He's like me, but he liked it as well. I was so excited.
Yeah, let's see if he likes the next one. Well, I got a speeding ticket. We went up to visit. We go up and visit Andy's mom every week.
Right.
And for some reason, I was speeding. But it turns out if you speed as somebody who looks like everyone's sister, aunt, or mother, you rarely get a ticket. But Andy was certain I was going to get a ticket, and I deserved a ticket, but I didn't get a ticket.
You got pulled over and let go.
Oh yeah. Essentially, I blew by one cop, and Andy had just said to me, "There's usually cops down here because that's how driving."
You're on the five, right?
Yeah, we're on the five going north.
That's how all of California education is funded: is tickets on I-5. FYI.
Right, and so we're coming off the Grapevine, and coming down the hill.
Yeah,
and, I'm going 83. It's a work zone.
That's so not it's a bad. 50, oh, it's a work zone. Yeah.
55 right. is what it was supposed to be. So I was going 83. Mm-hmm. So we get pulled over by the second cop. I slowed down after the first cop.
Wait, the first one pulled you over, let you go, and then you started speeding again?
No, the first one just, I think, caught me on radar. And radioed ahead to the second one.
Oh,
who I was like, of course. I think I must have thought, oh, I dodged a bullet. Or Leadfoot over here didn't even think at all. Very possible. Very possible. Right. There was absolutely no thought process at all.
Yes.
So he pulls us over, Officer Gomez. He comes to the window with a mask on, at which point I'm like, hey, get masks. We got a mask up. This guy doesn't need to catch our germs.
Wow, and so, I didn't know you loved the police so much, Jackie.
I call them murder hornets, but he was just he's a traffic cop. So, I mean, I was like, all right, so we'll just, you know, I am sitting from an amazing place of privilege. So, he could not have been more polite.
Right.
And so I hand him, you know, registration, insurance, ID, all of the things, driver's license. And the first thing he says is, so you were going really fast. And I said, I thought I was going 72. And he goes, well,
that's not a good defense.
Right, it's the worst defense. Cause he's like, well, it was 55 cause you're in the work zone. And I was like, oh, and he said, it's usually 65. And I do usually give people like 10 miles maybe, but it was a work zone. And I said, so in any case, I was wrong. I was speeding in any case. And he was like, yeah. And then he took all the paperwork and he went back to his car and he comes back and he goes, I'm going to give you a verbal warning. And while he was gone, by the way, Andy was like, oh, this is going to be a very expensive ticket because it's a work zone. And I said, it is going to be fair. I'm sorry that I was going so fast. You know, we had that conversation where you're just like, did you feel unsafe? I'm so sorry. Anyway, but.
Oh, man, you guys have had a week, you two. I tell you.
This is it. It's a knockdown, dragout week in the old Ashcraft-cation home. I don't know why I put his name first. So what is this, a tax form? So did you know that when you're married, you have to put the man's name first? Anyway.
No, I don't. Why don't you tell me other things I'm not doing, having sex or being married? What else, Jackie? Why don't you fucking rub it in?
You're going to have someone take care of you when you're old. Anyway, so.
I don't know about that.
You can't count on anything.
You can't count on it.
So the guy comes up. So the cop comes up to the thing again and he says, I just want to show you that I did. I'm giving you a verbal warning, but I just want to show you that I did catch it at 83. And Andy says, well, we know she was going too fast.
He's not even on your side. Oh my God.
Exactly.
And he dropped you like a hot potato. Wow.
And I said, well, I think we all know that you know it, but I want to see it. And he goes like this, and it says 83. And I don't know what I'm looking at. Anyway, so we drive, and so he's just like, just slow down. For the love of all the things, you're just coming, you're barreling down that hill. It's too fast. And I was like, fair enough. And so the rest of the trip is fine.
Listen, and you guys make that trip all the time. This guy's going to remember you.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
So if it happens again. Now you can't even go 75 anymore. You really fucked yourself over, Jackie.
And then I would like to say this again. Mm-hmm. I can't even think of a date when in my head to ask for a rebooking from Lewis Lee at Acme. I can't even think of a date. Like, what date do I ask for the rebooking?
When do you think, all right, so we need, when's the vaccine going to be rolled out? I thought that essential workers were going to start getting it December or January, you know, and then it's going to just start rolling to the general population. I would say May or June.
Wow. Man, it's just
for you to have the audience that you want in the in the crowd, right?
Yeah.
I got a parking ticket in front of my own house. Let me just point out, I've never had a parking ticket in front of the house, but I do have some what could be construed as anti-police propaganda on various parts of the side of the house that faces.
What? It turns out you're part of the entire sentence that says Black Lives Matter as much as everybody's, and they're not being treated that way possibly by the police.
So I was like, what a coincidence. Interesting. Also,
was it your mom's car or was it your car?
No, it's mine. It was mine. I'm on a corner, so I have a bit of a red zone, you know, towards the corner.
Yeah.
And so my bumper was... According to Officer Signer, too far over into the red. Okay. All right. I put up a sign that said concede loser, you know.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. And mostly to popular acclaim, by the way. People, if I'm out in the garden or whatever in the front, people are like, love it, right? And it was stolen. So you know, I'm not on Facebook anymore, but I am in the next best thing, which is Nextdoor. So I go into Nextdoor, and I said, someone stole my concede loser sign. And then it turned into a gigantic thread about, you know, Trump. Oh. It was like worse than any Facebook thread I've ever seen politically.
Sure. Yeah.
And it ended up being deleted by Nextdoor. Which is fine, but it was a fun way to spend an afternoon just gently batting away Trump conspiracy theorists that live amongst us, you know, here.
They're just brutal. They have their own network now. Did you see that? OANN?
Oh, yeah. And Newsmax you know, Stop the Steal. That's their hashtag or whatever.
Oh, that's their hashtag. Yeah.
Yes. But there's people like... five streets down that had, I would say 10 by 10 foot Trump signs, like flags, you know, hung on the side of their house. And also two flagpoles, like regulation size flagpoles with Trump flags still flying. So, but their shit is not stolen, but my little concede loser poster board stolen. So I made a new one and I put it further back and higher up.
Do you think that someone stole it because they loved it? That's what I like to say. I like to say, oh, did you like it so much you wanted it for your house?
No, I think someone had earlier crossed out the word loser, just like drawn a line through it, but very lazily. Like you could still completely read loser. They just drew a little purple line through it. So I was like, I couldn't even tell. Maybe they were on my side, but it was up. It's been up for, it was up for like at least maybe 2 days after the election. So I guess it's 2 weeks or something, a little more than that. And it was starting to curl in the sun as handmade signs do. That's how long this guy is. It keeps going on with this charade. So anyway, my new sign will be up until he actually concedes, and I'll take it down and I'll stop irritating people in my neighborhood.
Right. We're putting up Christmas lights today.
Oh, I totally am lit. You can't handle how many lights I have. Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Andy's going to do the garage for the first time this year because we have this little garage room.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that'll be great because I've been walking through the dark from the, if I, because it gets dark so much earlier.
Oh, at 5 o'clock, it's pitch black.
It's pitch black, so I keep forgetting to turn the light on when I go in at like 3:30 to do some Zoom thing. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at. Hey, let's take another break.
Hey friends, Jesse here, the founder of Maximum Fun, and I have some really great news to share with you. This year has brought a lot of changes for all of us. And one tradition that we were grateful to be able to hold on to is our annual pin sale to benefit charity. This year, through your generosity and love of pins, you helped raise $95,400 for Give Directly. If you're a member and you bought pins, they'll ship in January. In the meantime, your support will provide direct cash relief to families impacted by COVID-19 across the United States. Even in this incredibly tough year, the Max Fund community remains extraordinarily kind. And whether or not you bought pins, you can continue to help by heading to givedirectly.org. And as always, thank you.
Let's see. What else do you have to talk about? I watched the Star Wars Lego special, Christmas Lego special. I never did see the original Christmas Lego special with Bea Arthur. I'm okay. I've watched this one. Mediocre enough.
Pretty bad.
It was fine. It was, I don't need it. I also like the new Animaniacs. And the new Animaniacs is exactly like the old Animaniacs in the fact that probably 77% of it I love. And then 23, whatever the other percentage would be because of math, is, oh, okay. Like, I don't hate any of it. I don't hate any of it, but 77 of it is wonderful.
You know what I hate? This conversation. 100% of it.
You like animation. You like anime. Pardon me, manga. And so what?
Manga, as I have been told many times, is not anime.
Manga is the book form.
And sometimes anime is inspired by the manga, but often goes in its own direction.
It's nerd. So true. It's so true. Thank you so much, young man, for leading us for letting us know. Andy once said to one of our friends' kids, "Are you voice-planning to my wife?" Which I thought was a great line because Bernard had been voice-planning to me, and but he was only 11. So
My kid is a total voice-planer. I don't. It's like, you know. You're growing up, you think you just invented everything. So I can't get too mad at him. But it's funny because I know he'll in 10 years be mortified at how arrogant he sounds right now. Or maybe in 20 years. Or maybe never. He's a male. Who knows? We'll see. Right. We'll see how this one turns out.
He could double down. We don't know. So I thought I was doing the Grove show this week, an outdoor Grove show.
Yeah.
And it turns out that I might be doing it on December 4th. And I've been offered like 3 outside sets on December 4th and a Zoom show. Or wait, 2 outside sets and a Zoom show. And supposedly I go to Denver on the 2nd, do a show, come back in Loveland, and come back on the 3rd.
Right.
But isn't California doing like a quarantine thing? Like when I'm back, am I going to be able to go?
That's the other thing. Like, I don't even know if my shows this weekend are going, you know, I mean, the coronavirus cases, their cases are going, they're going up so quickly that everything could be shut down. And even then, I don't know what that means. Like, we can't leave our homes at all, or we can leave to go shopping. My only concern is the pool going to be closed. Please just keep the pool open. That's all I need. Everything else I can handle.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, you kind of got to go in assuming things will be open, and then if they're shut, they're shut, right?
There was a great thread on Twitter that I read about this woman from an American who went to Taiwan, and she had a 15-day.
I read that one. Yes.
That was great, right? That was kind of amazing. It's like we're still wearing masks. out in public, but they're gathering in normal groups.
Yeah, and the trouble that the government goes to make sure that you don't have COVID before you're let out in the public. I mean, you are, and this is, I think New Zealand's the same way in a couple of other countries too. If you go there, you are trapped in a hotel room. You cannot leave for any reason. They bring food to you. You can't walk. You can't go downstairs to the and work out. You are in that room for 15 days, and then they still track you. So, our country's, it's such a colossal fuck up, and we're still, it feels like we're still at the beginning of it, because there's just going to be a huge wave of death from all the travel and all the get-togethers.
You remember when Trump said, so we'll lose 200,000 people, it'll be fine. And we were all like, don't be ridiculous. How are you so cold about that? How are you like, oh, that's okay. And now we're pushing 300.
Yeah, it's, we're 250 right now, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be so many. I'm sorry to have gotten back to that. I guess it's just another, it's just on my mind, obviously.
Well, of course, it's on everyone's mind. It's just shocking, you know?
Yeah.
And it would be so, you know, this guy, Andy Slavitt, who's a kind of a COVID expert, and has said if, and I think other medical experts have said this too, if we just clamped down, everyone did, the whole country did it for 6 weeks, we would be done. And all of our lives would go back to normal. Kids would be going back to school, you know, and we can come up with ways to isolate pockets, you know, if we do contact tracing so it doesn't spread. And, you know, we just have to be ready until the vaccine really kicks in for people to, you know, stay indoors for like a week or two if your city starts to bubble up again, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it could be so much easier. We're about, you know, we're headed towards so much pain right now that is completely unnecessary if we had just had competent leadership at the top.
But yep.
Everyone knows that.
So I got an email, comedy related, might as well bring it back to that.
Please.
I got an email from a guy who is writing a history. He used to write for the Strib, for the Star Tribune, and City Pages over in Minneapolis. So he's writing the history of Minnesota comedy from the 70s to the 90s.
Oh, The '70s. So was there a lot of comedy in the '70s in Minnesota?
Yeah, there was a
scene. It's got to be like four people, right?
Well, it was Hanson, and I mean, and
the Booker, yes. Right. But I mean, stand-ups. Well, how many venues were there though in the '70s?
He did stand up, and I think the first time I did a Hanson room was probably in 86. I went and stayed, would have been, 84, 85. Yeah, I think it was 85. Mm-hmm. 1985, he had his first club. Him and Lewis, Scott Hansen and Lewis Lee owned a club together.
Mm.
And it was, didn't end well. Yeah,
because yeah,
Scott Hansen's a piece of work. And so this guy's like, do you have any stories about, you know, doing stand-up? And I was like, I have a scar on my finger. Do you want that? He was like, well, do you have any goods? I mean, I imagine he wants a good story. And I was like,
yeah, but the thing is like, we're supposed to care about how distanced people are when you were cut in your finger for a gig. Like, that's what's so crazy. Like, we're supposed to be so COVID concerned. And we've put our lives in danger so many times just to do a shitty show for no money, especially in the beginning. That's what's so strange about right now.
I mean, the thing is so Scott lost his mind when he had five clubs, right? Mm-hmm. In Minneapolis. He had five different clubs going, and he would book the same 20 comics at all of them.
Right.
Maybe 10. And he would play them against each other, and he would play, you know, whatever. But so I was trying to think. So this drove me nuts, this finger thing. And then he did one time give me money so I could get the transmission on my car fixed so I could continue to do road work. It was like a grand.
Wow. That's a lot back then.
And so I was like, and I had done so many free shows for him. He was like, you know, I would give you that money because you've done so many free shows for me, but I can't afford it. So you got to work it off.
Oh my God.
So I
believed him, right?
Completely. entirely. Yeah, I was like, sure. Of course.
Because I can't believe him now, and I know he's a fucking lying piece of shit.
And he had $1,000 all at one time.
Who lives like that?
Who lives like that?
That's drug dealer money.
It's like, yeah, like, what are you, in bootlegging? Yeah, so, I mean, those are the only two. I mean, for the love of God. And then it was Roseanne. I saw Roseanne. She came up. She used to come up and do the club a lot because she was an Iowa comic for a while, I guess.
I thought she was a Denver comic.
I think she was a Denver comic, but I think when she'd go home, she's from Iowa.
Oh, is that when she hooked up with Tom Arnold?
So, yeah. So I saw her before she was with Tom Arnold in the 80s. And then I saw her one time with Tom Arnold where Arnold was doing stand-up. And they wanted to see her, but she had just gotten like some new plastic surgery and was like, literally her face was bandaged. And he was like, come on.
And she still went to the club.
and he was such a dick about it. He was on stage telling some story about how he has to lure her into the car when she has a psychotic break with chocolate. And I was like, hey, you sound like a real prince. Fuck off. Well,
was he an addict at that point? Was he a practicing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think they were all a disaster.
Yes, he seems nicer now. Just on Twitter. Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like, he sort of got his shit together and he's a better person. But yeah. I mean, that could be said of almost every comic.
Yeah, me too. Yes, you're right.
I was like, he's a better guy now. He's not great. He's better. He's such a weird thing to say. Anyway, I don't know. Where are we at, Kyle?
We are, literally hit an hour as you said that.
Adios.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.